and say again how pleased we are to see all of you here today. And we're just especially glad to honor you. Earlier during the music, we asked all those in the armed forces by the various branches to stand. But I wonder if we could one more time, if you are currently in the military or have served in the past, would all of you stand just so we can kind of see collectively all of you? And it's good to see our airmen home here, but all of you, congratulations. Thank you. We honor you for your service. Amen. Thank you. We appreciate that very much. Let me ask these young guys over here. Are all three of you in active service right now? Are you? Yeah, you are, all three of you? Yeah? All right. Terrific. Well, we welcome you. Nice to see you here, and nice to have you home. And all the rest of you, good to have you as well. But it's nice to honor those in active service today. We got somebody else. We'll get in trouble if we do this all the time, because there's always something kind of happening. But somebody kind of special celebrating today. Sandy Casey, I couldn't begin to tell you all the things that she does in this church. And we kind of, when she took the job, we called her the volunteer coordinator. But she's pastoral care and women's ministries and benevolence. And I just run out of things to say about her. And she and Don are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. They look like they were married when they were just 5 or 6 years old. And boy, if you see their wedding pictures, you'd really think that, because Don looks like he's like 10 or whatever, and Sandy's just a little sweet face and stuff. But we just, their whole family's here today. Don, you've been in this church from day one, haven't you? Just about, yeah. And Sandy got here as soon as she could, right, from West Tulsa over to here. But would you guys mind to stand, and can we just let them know how proud we are? Congratulations to you for 50 years. And I tell you what, we couldn't do what we do without, Sandy and Don. They've just served this church in so many ways, but we appreciate you and we love you. And we're glad Sandy's had bum arms and things where, oh, look, she can raise her arms overhead. That's a lot of rehab to do that right there. And we're glad to celebrate with you on your 50th. Wow, I think that's great. Well, I'm thankful, as you are, for the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. For more than 200 years, we've enjoyed the blessings of freedom and democracy. And we understand, too, as we've celebrated this morning, that freedom carries a price with it. And we acknowledge all those who have who've paid that price to keep us free. Rebecca mentioned to me this morning, she said, you know, after working with the family of service people and counseling and stuff, she said, you know, it's not just the person in the military that's making a sacrifice, but it's husbands and wives and children that are sacrificing as well. And to all the spouses and children of veterans and of our service people today, we honor you and recognize the price that you've paid, and we appreciate that so very much. Freedom carries with it a distinct kind of moral and spiritual risk and responsibility. There's a risk to freedom. There's a we run the risk when we say that we're free in America. When I use the term risk, what I'm talking about is we have the freedom to say what we want to say, but I have that freedom, and so do you. That means there's a risk involved that when I stand up and say I'd like to exercise my freedom of speech and I make my statement, then I'm risking the fact that you're going to get up and say, you're an idiot, and let me tell you all the reasons why you're an idiot, and you're going to say some things that I don't like. The fact that I have the freedom to get up and pray or say what I want to say and bless the name of the Lord means that somebody else has the freedom to get up and curse the name of the Lord. And I don't like that, but that's part of the risk that we run when we decide that we're going to live in a democracy where there's freedom. Freedom is kind of messy, just like democracy is kind of messy. That's part of the risk involved. And there's a responsibility as well. Just because we have the freedom to do what we want to do doesn't mean we should do what we want to do. So I have the freedom to come over there and punch Albert in the nose, but that's not something I should do. It's just that I could, but God expects us, and we expect ourselves to use wisdom and discretion about it. And certainly if somebody's bigger than I am or faster than I am, I don't want to hit them because, well, there could be trouble. I remember flying to somewhere, Boston, I think, and I sat next to a young guy, I mean, just big old arms and stuff, and so in the process, he had told me about the fact that he was an Olympian, that he had qualified for this was years ago, he'd qualified for the games that Jimmy Carter canceled and didn't go, but he was a boxer, and so he had qualified as a boxer, but they were. This was after this, and so they were using him to kind of in training and stuff or whatever. And somewhere in the process of handing my dinner tray over, I managed to spill a drink all over this guy, and so he was very kind and gracious. I said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "No, it's okay." And I said, "No, I'm telling you, when you've spilled ginger ale on somebody, there's nothing to take that out because that's what they always do on a plane. Let me get some ginger ale to take that out." So anyway, I said to him, "No, I'm really sorry." And he said, "No, that's okay." And I said, "You don't understand. It's one of the guiding principles of my life. Never spill stuff on an Olympic boxer. Somehow, that seems like a bad plan to me." I said, "If you'll send me the bill, I'll send you money to pay." No, don't worry, babe. He was a nice guy. I was grateful. Got off the plane alive. Just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should do something. But it seems in our culture that most people think freedom is the right to do it absolutely as we please, with no restraint and no suffering of consequences, no unpleasant consequences after we do what we want to do. We think we've got the right to do as we please. After all, I'm entitled to the pursuit of happiness, right? So I can do anything I want to do. It's a right, remember, that I can have that. We all want our freedom. Teenagers, you know, we can't wait to move out of the house so we can have our freedom. I'm not gonna do that when I get out of here. Yeah, I'm going off, and so that's what we want to do. Husbands and wives divorce because they want, I'll put air quotes around that, they want their freedom. I'm tired of living here. I want my freedom. Christians sometimes walk away from God and the church because they want their freedom. I don't want to live by all those rules anymore of the Bible. I want my freedom. Well, let me ask you this morning, freedom from what exactly? Freedom from parents and the fact that they pay the bills and give you a place to live and, you know, give you money for, or you want freedom from that? Yeah, I want to be poor on my own, you know. Freedom from what? Is it freedom from their rules? Freedom from the fact they don't want you to be out all night long and carousing around? What is it? Freedom from your spouse? Does your spouse have rules that you have to live by? Well, I'm tired of this. Freedom from church? What? The church's rules? Is that what you're talking about? Freedom from God. I don't want God telling me what to do. I'm tired of all the rules. I just want to get free. Well, understand, first of all, rules aren't bad. Rules and laws aren't bad. The other night we had somebody heading down I-44 on the wrong side of I-44, right? Well, there's kind of a rule about that, right? There's a law about that. Signs that say one way, do not enter. That's a pretty good rule. Just rule of thumb there. Don't drive up the wrong way on I-44. And you can say, well, I don't have to abide by rules. I know, but the end result of that, we call that a head-on collision, and that's not a good thing. And so there are rules that we live by. This is just how this works. And so the point is that the absence of rules is not freedom, it's chaos. The absence of rules is not, that's not freedom, that's trouble. So whether it's one way, do not enter, or, you know, we've got a rule at our house, don't stick metal objects into the electrical outlet. I think that's a good rule. We had that when the girls were little, and that was a good plan. Nobody ever walked in with that deal going on because we made that a rule. Don't do that. That's a bad thing. And I mean, we could go on and on, you know. Don't put your hand in a, you know, in a lion's cage at the zoo. That's a rule. No, I don't have to live by that. And that gets you that right there again. So there's, you know, don't drink and drive. All those things. Stop at red lights. They're just rules. And they're there to protect us and to keep us from harm and trouble. Well, God gave us rules. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Those things produce pain in people's lives. So, well, it doesn't hurt me to steal something. No, ultimately it does, because it brings condemnation and judgment upon you. But it hurts somebody else because you took their stuff, or you took their wife or their husband, or you took their property. Whatever it is, it produces pain. And so God established rules and laws or whatever because He wanted to ensure that life would function in a way that enables us to enjoy freedom and to enjoy the life that He intended for us to have. Those rules about don't lie and don't kill and don't commit adultery, they're not to deny you freedom. They're so you can be free to celebrate life and to live it the way God intended. So let me recommend a book to you. I wrote a book a few years ago called Not Just Idle Words, if you don't have it or if you never bought it. We're running a 4th of July special. I forgot to tell them at the desk out there, but tell them I said $5 if there's a copy of it out there. But get the book and read it, not because I wrote it, but the point of the book was that those Ten Commandments, it's not just about the thou shalt nots. God's just trying to keep us from enjoying having freedom. No, the flip side of that is to celebrate. God said don't kill. Instead, what He wants you to do is to celebrate life and its sanctity. God said don't commit adultery because He wants you to celebrate the purity of marriage in a holy, sanctified kind of way where you can trust one another and you're not living with suspicion and fear and pain and all those things. So you understand that God gave us rules because He cared about us and He wants us to celebrate life in the appropriate way. So the absence of rules is not freedom. When everybody's left to their own ways and governed by their own conscience, we end up with anarchy and chaos, and no one is really free then. Nazi concentration camps or Rwandan genocide or whatever, all those things can show you what humanity can do when there are no rules to live by, when everybody just does what they want to do. So you say, okay, so I don't mean freedom from all rules. I just mean freedom from the stupid rules like the ones the church and the Bible lay down. I'm just tired of all those rules. I want to be free from God and all His rules. Well, really? Do you really want to be free from a God that loved you so much He sent His only Son to die in your place so you could be truly free? I mean, have you thought this through? A God that loves you that much just might have placed those boundaries and those rules in your life to protect you from pain and heartache and death. If He loved you enough to send His Son to die for you, I think there's a good chance that He placed those other rules and things in life because He wanted to take care of you, because He wanted you to know what real life was all about. So are you sure you want freedom from God and from His rules for living? Are you sure that's what you want? Because I'm going to tell you, there is one way that you can be free from God and free from His rules and His authority. There is one place that's free from all those rules, but it happens to be hell. Because for everything else, the Bible says the description of hell, a place where the fire never goes out, and fire and brimstone, and all the torment, all those things, the best description of and definition of hell is the complete absence of God's presence. So if you really want to be free from God and all of His rules, consider the ramifications and think about this. The absence of God is not freedom, it's hell. I just want to get God and the Bible off my back. You know what? Freedom from God, freedom from His presence is literal hell. And running from God and hoping to be free from Him and His rules and His commandments and just living as you please with no restraint, it's possible, but it's not freedom. It's hell. And when we mistakenly view freedom as the right and the power to do anything we please, we're in trouble. And somewhere along the way, and for sure in American society, we confuse freedom with indulgence and excess. And the truth is, freedom without discipline and appropriate restraint leads to bondage. Living life without restraint, without rules, without obedience to God's commandments, without discipline, it ultimately will lead to bondage and not freedom. So in our culture, for sure, we indulge ourselves to the point that we're no longer free to enjoy things. Instead, we're addicted to things. We have to have them. The joy and the freedom to choose are gone. So it's not just that we enjoy food. We're addicted to it. It's not just, I mean, all these things. The addiction runs rampant in America. We're addicted to food and drink and drugs and alcohol and sex and pleasure and entertainment, and we can't live without it. We aren't free. We're enslaved. You know, the idea that somehow we're going to create, this was 40 years ago, we're going to create a means of communication that will free you up. You know, remember it started this way. You wouldn't even have to have a cord hooked to the receiver. You could go anywhere you wanted in your house and talk. You could have a wireless phone. And we went, boy, that's great. Man, that really frees me up. I can get in the kitchen. I'm working, you know. Just having more than one phone in that day. Really? You got a phone in your kitchen? What, are you rich? And so that's where I grew up. So anyway, now I got a wireless phone. And then we said, we're going to free you even from that. We're going to give you a cell phone where you can be free to go anywhere you want to go. And we said, that's a great idea. And we're going to put data on it and everything else. And then you know what happened? We became addicted to the sorry things so that we can't. It's a crisis. Oh, my Lord, I left the house without my phone. Right? Right? We'll turn. We'll drive miles back. You do it occasionally. I think I left my phone at church. I'm having withdrawal. What am I going to do? Could you just get on my Facebook account and see if anybody's posted anything lately? Right? I'm lost without Pinterest. I don't know. It's become an addiction to us. I mean, I think about throwing my phone out the window some days, but I've got it clipped to my side anywhere I go. I'm just sitting around the house. I got it in my pocket. And now everybody has one, right? So at our house, it's like, is that you or me? Somebody's getting a text. Is that you or me? I don't know. Who's it? Pick up a phone. We're addicted to it. And some of you are going, I'm not addicted to it. That's just silly. He's saying we're addicted to these. I know. OMG. I can't wait. It was supposed to free us up. And instead we found ourselves addicted. So understand, freedom without discipline and appropriate restraint leads to bondage. We're not free. The land of the free? No, we're the land of the addicted. So understand this morning, freedom is not the power to do as you please, because the ultimate, I just do whatever I want to do. That's selfishness. Freedom is the power to choose to do what's right. Freedom says, this is the right thing to do and I'm free to do it. I'm free to say it. I'm free to stand for that truth. That's what it's about. Freedom is the power to choose to be what you were created by God to be and to do what you were created by God to do. Freedom is choosing to live the life that God intended for us to live. And if you've made Christ the Savior and Lord of your life, then you have been freed from bondage to sin, and the Holy Spirit is present to help you to obey God. Real life, real freedom is found in serving Jesus and living the way He intended us to live. That's abundant life. He said, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. The devil's come to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus has come to give you life. And life apart from obedience to God ultimately cannot and will not satisfy you. It's less than what God intended for you. So I have the little goldfish there, making a break for it. Because 20 years ago or something, I preached about freedom, and I had a couple of goldfish in a little goldfish bowl that I bought. And anybody remember me having goldfish up here? Yeah, a few of you do. And I think by that morning, or at least by second service, one of them had gone to goldfish heaven. And he was floating on the surface, but I was smart enough to buy a couple of goldfish, and so I still had one, and so I had a little net, dipped it in there, and got the little fish out, and I said, now how many of you think I ought to set this goldfish free? And was ready to sling him out there, and of course some of the kids in here thought that'd be kind of cool, but we chose not, on behalf of the fish lovers of the world, we chose not to free him from the little bowl, and we gave it to somebody so they could later flush him down the toilet. But anyway, that's the way all goldfish go. But suppose that once upon a time there was a little fish named Goldie, and she decided, I'm sick of water, and I just want to be free. I'm tired. I'm tired of the same old thing. I'm tired of all the rules. Stay in the water. Whatever you do, don't get out of the bowl. There's cats, there's birds, and there's dry land out there, and it'll kill you. I'm telling you. Just stay in the bowl. Enjoy the water. And you just say, I've heard all that stuff. I've heard about cats my whole life. I've heard about dry land. I don't believe it. I just want to be free. I just want to be free of this. I don't want to live this way. I want to do my own thing. And so I'm getting out of here. I'm going over the bowl, okay? We're out of here. I've had it. If I ever see another little underwater diver the rest of my life, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the little colored rocks. I'm getting out of here. Now, what I'm telling you is, that's not freedom for Goldie. That's death for Goldie. Life for the goldfish is living as God created him and her to live within the parameters of the goldfish bowl. To live in the way he intended for them to exist. You say, well, man, they could live in the ocean. Well, not for very long. A goldfish wouldn't. Because that's not even a snack. That's an accidental. I got a little something right there. That's what a shark. Goldfish biting their heads off. Cheddar. So that's not. A goldfish isn't going to make it out there, okay? I'm just going to tell you. Just a little warning for the rest of it. Thinking, as soon as I can get out of mom and dad's house, man, there's a world out there for me. Think of that right there, will you? Because you could be goldfish for somebody, cheddar flavored. And so that's what we do. Okay, there's a world beyond the goldfish bowl. No, not really. Not for goldfish, there's not. They're just, it's a few little flops and then you're gone. And beyond the bowl is death. And you say, yeah, but that's fine, that's a goldfish. But there's life beyond obeying Jesus and obeying all the rules that God says and living by the Bible. No, not really. Not really. Because beyond that is death. And the problem is that too often for us and for goldfish as well, maybe we haven't explored the life truly that God intended for us to live. There's enough grace and mercy and power to enable us to live in abundance and to live that abundant life and in the freedom that God intends for us. And it happens when we live in obedience to God and to His Word. And you can say, well, none of that really applies to me. I'm telling you what, I'm living like I want to live. I'm doing what I want to do. And nobody and no rules from some old book or the Bible or whatever are going to tell me what to do. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm not going to live like a prisoner to God and the church and the rules. You want to be totally free? Then let me be honest with you. If you're looking for freedom, let me share with you the truth about yourself. Because here's what the Bible says. But the Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. So maybe we're not as free as we thought. And the truth is that maybe we've been making some of those rotten choices because we don't have the power to make better choices. We think about making better choices, but it turns out we're prisoners of sin. The whole world's a prisoner of sin. And the Bible says in Romans that the good we wanted to do, I intended to do that, and we turn right around and do evil. And the evil we said we'd never do, that's the very thing that we do. We seem to be enslaved somehow. We're bound to sin without Christ as our Savior. Yeah, we're enslaved. And what we've been calling freedom, I just do what I want to do, I don't care about what the Bible says, it turns out that's not freedom, that's really slavery. It's slavery to selfishness and to sin and to an old carnal nature. Doing what you wanted and calling it freedom was really just using people and being used and getting rather than giving and winning at any cost. And you just need to examine the rest of it. Oh, man, I'm free. Yeah, I'm free. I don't live by those rules. I mean, I'm a guy. I sleep with whoever I want to sleep with. No consequences, right? No consequences, man. I'm free. I don't need all that stuff. Well, talk to the three ladies that have three babies by you. Talk to those kids that don't see dad and never knew commitment. See if there's any consequences. Just because you think you don't have any consequences doesn't mean there's not consequences. Jack, you're messing up somebody else's life and you're calling that freedom? That's not freedom. That's exactly right. That's selfishness. That's not freedom. That's bondage, and you don't even know it. You think you're free? You're just deceived. You're just deceived and selfish. The whole world is a prisoner to sin, Jesus said. So Jesus said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Well, I make my own choices. We're just doing what comes naturally to us as unredeemed folk. That freedom you're looking for, that freedom to live any way you like, live, do what you please, disobeying God's word and rebelling against God, the Bible calls that sin. And sin is not a sign of freedom. Sin is a sign of slavery. Everybody that sins is a slave to sin. You're not in control. You're doing what emotions and passions tell you to do. Without control, without restraint, without discipline, we become less human and just more like animals. And sin degrades us and at the same time gives us this false sense of civility and sophistication. Somebody said, civilization doesn't keep you from killing each other. It keeps you from eating one another after we're dead. I thought that was kind of funny. We think we're civilized and sophisticated. We think we've freed ourselves from those silly mandates and rules of some ancient book and some ancient God, Christian God. Well, look around. Do you see freedom among those who live without God? In the highest levels of our culture, we're educated and we're sophisticated, but we're still sinners in need of forgiveness and in need of a Savior. Highest divorce rates and dysfunction everywhere, broken homes and broken lives, seven-figure incomes with chemical dependency and heartbreak and inability to commit to anyone or anything, and mass murders in our schools and hopelessness and suicide and despair. And none of that sounds like freedom to me. It's slavery. Because the Bible says the whole world is a prisoner to sin. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And that's all of us, because the Bible says all of us have sinned. All of us at some point in time said, I'll never do that again. And we never did it again until we did it again. And then we said, well, boy, I know I messed up then, but I'll never do it again. And then we didn't do it again until 30 minutes later when we did it again. And we discovered, you know what, I don't seem to be able to help myself much. It almost feels like I'm a slave to sin. Yeah, that's what he said. But that's not all Jesus said about it. He went on to say, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He wants us to be free, not enslaved to sin. He wants us to be free, to be sons and daughters of God. You want to be free because all of us were slaves to sin, prisoners, unable to break free from our prison. Jesus came and bore the penalty for our sins in His own body as He took our place on the cross. Because the penalty for our sin was death. And Jesus died in our place so we could live. He died and then He rose again. And now He alone has the power to set us free from sin and from death. And that's why Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Real freedom is found in serving Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, nothing else even comes close. So how about it on this weekend when we're starting to celebrate freedom for the week? You tried the other stuff and you found it to be bondage. Well, how about coming to the one who can truly make you free? Because if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. He says you'll no longer be a slave. You'll be a son. You'll be a daughter. You'll live in His freedom. So if you want to truly be free, I invite you to come to Jesus. The Bible says in Galatians 5, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Come to Jesus and be free. Maybe it's free from sin. Maybe it's freedom from addiction. You feel bound to something. Maybe it's freedom from bitterness over something that happened in the past. Whatever it is, Jesus has the power to set you free and to give you that life that you want. You can explore what it means to live an abundant life in Christ if you come to Him in faith. That's His offer. So if you're here this morning and you need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to set you free from that slavery to sin, you can do it right there this morning, right where you're sitting. Open your heart to Him. Just tell Him in your own words, in your own way, Lord, I recognize I'm a slave to something and I don't want to be a slave anymore. And You said You would set me free. Come set me free and change my heart and my life. And see what happens when you pray that prayer. Would you bow your hearts with me this morning? Lord, I thank You that it's Your desire for us that we would walk in freedom. That we don't have to be bound to sin any longer. I thank you, Lord, that whom the Son sets free will truly be free indeed. And Lord, if there's one here this morning, they've not made Christ the Savior and Lord of their life, and they recognize the truth about the way they've been living or the way they've been treating others, when it gets right down to it, when they look themselves in the mirror, they realize, you know what? Yeah, I'm not living free. I'm bound to some stuff in my life that I know is not pleasing to God. I'm bound to sin, and I want to be free. And Lord, grant them that grace this morning to pray that prayer. Right there where you're at, to just ask Him, Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Forgive me and change me. Set me free. Lord, if you can do anything, you can do that. Set me free from sin, from bondage. And Lord, for some that have placed their hope in you, but there is a bondage. There's a snare in their life. Something has captured them and they feel addicted to something, some behavior, something that's destructive in their life. Lord, I pray that you would deliver them today. I pray that you would grant them the grace day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, to walk in and live in your freedom, that we'll not be enslaved to our own passions or emotions, will not be a slave to mistakes or failures of the past, will not be enslaved to condemnation and guilt, those old voices that accuse us and point to us, but we will be free to live in your freedom and in your grace. Let it be for us, Lord, as we embrace the freedom that is ours in Christ, in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Amen. Let's walk in that freedom today. If you are a veteran or if you are an active service person, they got a little gift for you out there at the table. A little hat with an eagle and a flag on there. USA on the back. So stop by, get a free hat. You can stand and you are dismissed. God bless you. Thanks for walking in His freedom with us. We'll see you tonight at Chandler Park at 6:30 or Wednesday night for dinner and Bible study. Bless you.